Could anybody comment on BMT?
I was a nurse in surgery for 37 years before I became a nurse practitioner, and benign mechanical transport is another term for surgical seating. Those surgeons who choose not to isolate the tumor factor within their surgical field and they reuse a clamp or reuse the instrumentation when they have taken out a lump and then they go into the axillary to take out the lymph chain can very well benign mechanical transport right into that area.
I was told it was part and parcel of the actual biopsy technique, and the force that was used with aspiration could passively push small focus of a disease into the sentinel lymph node. My problem was I couldn't figure out anatomically how a 0.8 millimeter focus of disease could be passively pushed into a lymph node.
What was the time frame between the biopsy and the removal of the sentinel lymph node?
Same day, she had the mastectomy, and at the time of the mastectomy, they took a sentinel lymph node.
Really challenging.
The questions are, do you offer adjuvant chemotherapy with or without Herceptin, and do you really believe the case of this BMT? And it's hard to know what to do with this micrometastatic lymph node when her disease really measured only 1 millimeter in her breast. I had them go back and extensively go through the breast, and they could not find any other occult disease.
Harold?
We're lucky in breast cancer that we can even think about the differences that less than 1 millimeter of cancer might make. So I guess that's great progress for us. And obviously, the case defies any easy characterization. We have a weekly tumor board where we sit down in a multidisciplinary fashion with our pathologists and surgeons and radiation oncology colleagues, and there are several stock cases. DCIS with a microinvasion, DCIS with a micrometastasis in a lymph node, endless obsessions about borders, those kinds of issues. So this is stock case number two, which is the microinvasion, micrometastatic disease. Sometimes it's really helpful to look at the lymph node because the worry about these artifactual cases is that they are artifacts, that they are not biologically significant metastatic disease in a lymph node. And sometimes you can get a feel for that based on how it really appears in the lymph node and what the look is and if other lymph nodes are positive. So the first thing I would do would be an axillary dissection, because if she had extensive other residual disease in her lymph node, then you would be far more inclined to consider this really breast cancer as opposed to an artifact.
Has she had an axillary dissection?
She did have an axillary lymph node dissection. No other lymph nodes were involved.
Okay. So now you're stuck, and you've got to decide in your heart of hearts whether you think this is biologically, clinically real cancer in the lymph node or not, and just treat her as you would. And that there's no...
So if you felt that way, based on talking to your pathologist, et cetera, would you treat her?
Well, you know, so the current guidelines parse out these micrometastatic deposits in various ways. More than 2 millimeters is a real involvement. Less than 2 millimeters, but some threshold, 0.2 or something like that, is sort of unknown significance. Less than 0.2 millimeters is considered node negative. So she would have a real 0.2 to 2.0 millimeter deposit of unclear significance. The most important thing for her is tamoxifen. The second most important thing for her might be ovarian suppression. The third and fourth most important things for her might be chemotherapy and or trastuzumab. And I'll let Steve and Peter tell you what to do with that.
Steve, what do you think you'd be doing in this patient, assuming your pathologist said, yeah, I think this is really a met?
Well, I think this is a med. I think this is a patient with node-positive disease, and I would offer her one of the standard chemo trastuzumab options.
Peter?
This is one of those cases that we would discuss in tumor board, not come to a conclusion, you know, dogmatically to any specific conclusion. Basically, I think you could defend either. For this particular case, with such a small primary, I would probably not treat her. But I could make a defense for treating her.
To her credit, she was one of these people that you like to have this type of case because she was willing to go and do the research herself. She was very realistic and could weigh her options, and she could make a good decision on her own about what her risk was and what that benefit was and help me decide what was good for her.
So what has she decided, or you don't know yet?
That was about 4 or 5 months ago. I actually decided to treat her with 4 cycles of dose-dense AC, and then I elected to try to give her Q3-week Herceptin. It was plus or minus whether or not there was a benefit, and ultimately she decided to make that decision. The benefit would be is getting the AC has pushed her into a postmenopausal state, and the clock is on for my time to convert her from the tamoxifen over to an aromatase inhibitor.
Let the clock run for a while, by the way.
Right. It's a year. Yeah.
Well, no, it's longer. It's actually longer. You know, we and others have recently published some case series where women in their early 40s who had treatment-induced amenorrhea who were on tamoxifen for even a couple years then redeveloped ovarian function when they were transitioned to an AI. So let the clock run for a while on that.
That's another one we could spend an hour on. Question right here.
Was the HER2 testing done on the intraductal component or on the microscopic invasive component?
Good question. Had it done on the lymph node itself because of the DCIS being positive commonly for HER2.